Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Pastor Marianne read for you this morning my story when you heard the gospel, the way Mark told it. For 12 years, I had been menstruating. You kind of hear it as I was subject to bleeding. I was hemorrhaging. Think about that for a moment. 12 years straight. Now, I know this is the year 2015 and things are different, but I need to tell you a little bit about what our law was like, God's law. You see, there were laws that talked about what was clean and what was unclean. In the book of Leviticus, it lays out all of God's law and how we were to live. And that code of law, that law had to be kept. Because if it wasn't kept, you were a sinner. Clean was someone who was without sin. Unclean was someone who was filled with sin. Leviticus, in your book, 15, talks about the law of God as it relates to women and their cycle, we'll call it, every month. And what it says is that during that time of bleeding, of outflow, that women are unclean. They are filled with sin. Not for anything that they've done, just in the state of their condition. And that means that we're not allowed to touch anybody. Because you see, if we touch somebody, we make them unclean. And they bear the weight of the sin. If we sit on anything, it becomes unclean. It's not pure. And if someone else sits on that, they also become unclean. Now, there are rites and rituals on how to deal with this. And some women, well, especially in the times of Moses, they just went and gathered in a tent to be together. Sometimes there's ways of staying separate, but it's not an easy thing for us to do. And many times we go off and we're on our own for a while. And then there are rituals that will help when the time is past. There are very specific rituals that we do in bathing and the number of times until we are deemed and made clean by the rabbi. Being in the sinful state is like having a death sentence. You can't touch anybody. People look at you and know the state that you're in. I can still remember the day that I knew that something had gone terribly wrong. It was coming to the time where I would be completing my cycle. I was looking forward to going to the bath, delighting in being able to see my children again and holding them and my husband and being returned back into the household. But I knew something was wrong. Something was very wrong. And a week went by and my husband came to me and said, "What have you done? What happened? Why are you not back with us? Why has this not ended?" What do I say to him? I have no idea why. And so he says, "Obviously, you have done something that God is angry with you, and you are being punished." Another week went by. My husband said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to try and find a doctor to see what's going on." And so he made an appointment for me, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me herbs to take. Nothing happened. I went back to the doctor. The doctor said, double up on those herbs. Nothing. Nothing happened. I was still suffering. And then my husband came to me and said, I can't have this anymore. Clearly, you have done something wrong, that God is very angry with you. He said to me, I can't even go out into the market. I can't walk around the community. People are looking at me in the town. They're pointing. They're talking about us. They're talking about me. You have brought shame upon my house. You must go. And so all ties were cut. Now, it was not only a physical strain on me, but it was an emotional strain on me also. The hardest part of this entire ordeal was that I could not touch anybody. I couldn't hug my children when they were crying. I couldn't comfort them and kiss away their tears and tell them everything was going to be okay. I wanted my mommy. I wanted her to hug me and hold me and touch me and kiss my tears away and say everything was going to be okay. But that wasn't going to happen. I wanted my husband back. I wanted my life back. I wanted to be with my friends. But that wasn't going to happen. And so I said, what have I done so terribly wrong that I remained in this state of sin? Time went on. I became isolated and alone. No one wanted me. You know something? No one even remembered my name. And the saddest part of all, I didn't even remember my name because nobody called me by my name. They started to call me by my condition. I got a new name. I was called the woman who has been hemorrhaging for 1 year. The woman who has been hemorrhaging for 3 years. The woman who has been hemorrhaging for 7 years. I was identified by the number of years that I was in this condition, and I started to call myself that. And you know me now as the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. I began to pray, of course. I asked God for forgiveness and healing. Whatever it is that I have done, I racked my brain. Whatever I have done, please forgive me and give me healing. And it didn't come. Then anger started to boil up, and then I just had pure lament. I wanted to take my life. Just remove me from this suffering is what I begged of God. But then I thought, does God even want me in this sinful state? I was in the crowd that day. You heard it. I was in the crowd, and I watched as Jesus got in the boat and went to the other side. And then I stayed because I knew he had to come back. And there was a lookout guy. And this guy looked out, and all of a sudden he started screaming, I see Jesus, I see Jesus, I see Jesus. And he's screaming, and that was it. Everybody started rushing down to the shore of Galilee. And I hung back a little, but I was trying to creep forward as best as I could. Because you know something? I knew if I just touched Jesus, I could be healed. I knew that Jesus would heal. Jesus has been healing everyone. I knew that Jesus would heal me. Jesus was my only chance. And Jesus gets out of the boat, and my goodness, he just was surrounded by people, surrounded. They were closing in on him. The disciples didn't even know what to do. I mean, it was like, It was like there was a rock star in their midst. I don't know who your big rock stars are here anymore. I don't know if it's Justin Bieber or if it was Elvis or whoever, the Beatles. But it was like screaming people gathering and pushing in on Jesus. But I knew that I was going to get to him because it really was my only hope. Jesus would heal and save me. And then all of a sudden, there were screams and shouts, and the crowd just started dispersing as a man came running up. And I looked at that man. I said, I know that man. It's Jairus. He was the leader in my synagogue. He was the one that told me, I can never come back. What is he doing here? And then I watched as he threw himself at the feet of Jesus, begging him to come. Because his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, was near death. Jairus was begging Jesus. I remember the day that his daughter was born. There was a celebration, a big celebration. And you know why I remember this? Because it was 1 month before my situation came into being, 12 years earlier. Jesus, of course, said yes, that he would go. And so the crowd began to follow him again. And Jesus said he was only taking three with him, but the crowd still started to follow him. And I knew that that crowd was going to thin out and that I was going to get my chance to get to Jesus. And so I started pushing my way in, hovered over so no one could see me. Because what was happening was I was touching every single person in the process of getting to Jesus. My sin was being placed on them. I was making them unclean. But at this point, I was desperate. But here was the most desperate thing when I thought about it. When I touched Jesus, I knew that I was going to lay my sin on Jesus, on him. And yet, I had to take that chance because everyone said he was the Messiah, and I believed that he was the Messiah. And so there came Jesus, and I darted my hand out and stretched so I couldn't even tell, but then I felt the fingertip touch Jesus' garment. And there's a power that shot through me like I've never felt before. A complete and total healing, peace, calmness, wellness, life, new life came into me. And I knew immediately that my state of sin was over. That I had been restored. I knew it immediately. It was the most peaceful and beautiful experience. I can't even put it into words for you. But at the same time that I just touched the cloak of Jesus, his garment, at the same time that that power shot through me, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And I got scared. And I backed away. But I knew that I had to go forward and say that it was me. The disciples, of course, said, "How could you possibly know that someone touched you? All these people are pushing against you." But Jesus knew because his power went forth from his body. And so I came forward and I just threw myself at his feet, just like Jairus did. And I said, "It was me, Lord. It was me. I have to tell you the truth. And now I'm going to tell you the whole truth. I'm going to tell you what my life has been like for these past 12 years. It's been a death sentence. I've been isolated and alone. As I looked up with tears streaming down from my eyes, I thought for sure, that Jesus Who's going to cast me aside? I begged him. I said, I know, Jesus, that it was only you that could save me. And I was petrified to look up at him. But Jesus, the Son of God, he looked at me and he said, daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Daughter, he called me daughter. The Son of God called me daughter. The one who is filled with sin, who dared touch and lay that sin upon him, the divine, the Son of God. He called me daughter. He gave me a whole new life, a whole new name. I am a child of God. I am God's daughter. No longer will that other name stick with me. I am new. I am reborn. Jesus gave me a new name. Christ took away my sin so that I may live right then and right there. I was once dead, but I was made alive in Christ, just like Jairus' daughter, restored to wholeness and completeness. I have come to understand that Jesus had come into this world for me, the spotless lamb, who came to me so that my sin could be laid upon him. God chose me and made me God's very own child. But you know something? It's not just me. It's the entire world. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's your pastor. It's everyone. Every single person has been reconciled. That's God's incredible and amazing grace. Jesus took on your sin and brought you to new life. Jesus has restored and chosen and called you son, called you daughter, called you child of God. Thank you, gracious and merciful God, for your unconditional grace poured out through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for saying yes to me. Amen.